I will now read John 1:4-20. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. Proverbs 13:5. The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked make themselves a stench and bring shame on themselves. This is the word of the Lord.
With people, then. Thank you, Kara. I read a story this week. I thought it was kind of interesting, and I thought it's kind of appropriate way to start out a message on hate and meanness or love and grace. A man had reached his 100th birthday, and he was being interviewed by a reporter, and the reporter said, "What's the thing you're most proud of?" He said, "Well," he said, "I don't have an enemy in the world." Reporter said, "Man, that's a beautiful statement." He said, "That's very inspirational." And the man says, "Yep, I outlived all of them." And so sometimes that's the way we don't have enemies. And I think those two words, hatred and meanness, go hand in hand. I don't know which comes first. Hatred and meanness results from it, or meanness that brings about hatred. And although it's allowed in the world, it's something for certain that God does not condone and does not wish that people acted that way. And so, as I said earlier, I've seen so much, and we've all seen so much and heard so much about hatred and meanness. We hear very little about love and grace. And so I decided to put a spin, how about that, on hatred and meanness and take a look at love and grace. John, writing in his first epistle, he talks about it, and he said, God's love is the source of all human love. And if we think about that, if we can't love humanly, those people that we don't like, unless God instills love within us, hate can spread like wildfire. Love can spread like wildfire. And there was this footnote in my Bible, and I thought, do I dare say this? And I thought, well, somebody else wrote it, so I'm going to say it. It said, it's easy to say we love God when that love doesn't cost us anything more than weekly attendance at a service. That hits pretty hard when you really stop and think about it. And we find the real test of God's love, and how do we treat people around us? How do we treat people we live with? How do we treat people we work with? How do we treat people we worship with? And I know I make jokes about Cindy's mom, but we really do have a good relationship. I'm very fortunate. A lot of people don't have that type of relationship, and I'm thankful for it. But we find that real test of love in how do we get along with people that we spend all of our time with. One of the rules of Christian life is as Jesus said, was that we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I guess if we think of ourselves as a little too highly, then we should think of our neighbors in the same way. And we look at our neighbors the same way. Luke 6:27 says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies." So who are they? Who are the people that are enemies? Well, I can tell you who they're not. I'm not your enemy. A minister is not your enemy. Now, a lot of people may think that he's been reading your email, eavesdropping on your phone calls, reading your snail mail just to find out really things about you. But when you feel that prompting, that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, maybe you ought to take a look here. Maybe this is something that I need to change in your life. People in authority are not people that we should hate. Yesterday at the men's group, we talked about different things and mostly around the school shooting and things that kind of, you know, as the general topic of that. But we're not supposed to hate the president. We're not supposed to hate the leader. We may not agree with everything that they stand for. And I will admit that I have not missed a presidential election since I was able to vote. And I will tell you that I have not agreed with every person that I cast my vote for that won the election. But I will tell you, I have agreed with some things for those that were elected that I didn't vote for. It kind of works both ways, I think, if we look at it that way. So there are people in authority that we need to love and we need to show love for. People that point out our faults. Somebody that comes up to us, or we hear someone speak a prophetic word to us and it's like, well, I don't like that. Well, if it's a sincere, genuine prophetic word from the word that is given to you, it's come from God. It's not come from that individual. Proverbs says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Do not hate those who lovingly and gently point out your weaknesses, but let them guide you into a more Christ-like living. So they're there to show us something. There's people we disagree with. There are people in different churches that we disagree with, different denominations that we may not see eye to eye with us. But there are certain things that are important. I do not see eye to eye with the Mormon church, because I think they're not even in left field. They're out of the ballpark. I do not agree with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't even think they could find the ballpark. But there are a lot of... I hope there's no Jehovah's Witnesses in here, unless you're reborn. But there's things that we can agree on with different denominations, and one of them is the Scripture accurate? What about the deity? Is God God? And do we look at Him as God rather than a human, just human being only? Do we believe in the humanity of Jesus Christ and He came and walked on the earth? What about the Trinity? Did Jesus die and was He resurrected? Those things we can agree with. We may not agree with some of the finer points that are in their general rules. I don't agree with all of our general rules. Don't get struck dead. But I don't. God says we are to love our enemies no matter what. Love is a tough word to really grasp. It comes from a Greek word called agapeo, which is unconditional love. It means we show love no matter what. Let that sink in for a second. We don't put conditions on it. Loving our enemies doesn't mean, as I said before, that we have to sit down and break bread with them. Doesn't mean that we have to buy them a Christmas gift. Doesn't necessarily mean that we become good friends with them. But it does mean that when they hate us, we love them. That's what unconditional love is. Someone said it means that the cycle of hate, the cycle of revenge, and the cycle of retaliation stops with us. God never asked us to do anything that He wouldn't do. So could God have loved Satan? Yes, He could have. And I heard someone say this week, and I thought it was really a good statement, because a lot of times we talk about, well, I can love the person, but I hate their sin, and I hate what they do. And that author said, hate your sin first. I'm thinking, wow, I've never heard that put that away before. But it makes so much sense. In Luke 6, Jesus says to love our enemies. He knew what Judas was going to do all along. Yet the Bible says that he fellowshipped with Judas. He never said anything negative about Judas. He invited him to the Last Supper with the other 11. Treated him just like them. Alexander McLaren said something, and I thought it was interesting. He says, the principle is that love has no limits but itself. There may be resistance to wrong and refusal of a request. If love prompts to these, we must live near Jesus to know when such limitations come in and to make sure of our motives. McLaren said that we need to live so close to God that when something comes along, we can deal with it. He said in Luke 6, 27, 28, he says, and I love this first phrase, he says, but to those who are willing to listen. I think when you look at that, Luke knew not everyone's going to listen to this. But he says, if you're willing to listen, he says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you. Love, bless, and pray. Three intriguing things that come out of that verse that he's saying. And what I think he's saying to us today is that we need to develop an attitude of love. And I shared earlier, I was talking to Doug earlier, and we were talking about something, and I said, life is a series of choices. And there are consequences to the choices that we make. Positive consequences to good choices, not so good consequences to bad choices that we make. But what it will do is it will reveal an attitude of love in us when we begin to do this. Someone once said, and I don't know where I heard this at, but if you ever feel depressed, smile on the inside, because the smile will naturally come out. And we've all ran into people that said, I can't love that person. You don't know what they did to me. Well, there's no conditions that God puts on it. He says, love without ceasing. He didn't say that you can't love someone for any particular reasons that we have. I'm not exactly sure what the divorce rate is in the world today. I know it's not going to affect me, so that's my main concern, as it should be all of us. But people fall out of love because they quit loving. They quit making the decision every day when they get up to love their spouse, to love one another, to do things for them that may be a little uncomfortable, may make us feel a little uneasy. I was invited over, and I had dinner last night with one of the guys that was at the Walk to Emmaus at the table that we were, and we were sitting there laughing with it was Vic and Shan's house, and we were sitting there laughing about different things because somebody and Vic's Italian, and we had an unbelievable Italian meal. And somebody said, Vic, did you cook this? And of course, he backs up behind Shan and shakes his head, yes. And she looks at him and said, yeah, right. But one of the things that I thought when we were finished eating is he got up and picked up the plates off the table. And we may think that's just a small thing. But since he can't cook, he can at least help clean. I'm thinking that's how we express love. We do things for other people. We don't do things simply because Christ told us to do them. Because if we do that, that's legalism. But we do it because we want to develop a genuine relationship and love for them. There's a slide. Would you hit the next slide for me, please, Olivia? It's the verse that says, when Jesus says, love your enemies, I think he probably meant not to kill them. And to some people, that's really what love is. Don't take it the next step. Don't kill someone. You have a boss that you can't stand. What do? Unless you work for yourself. And then you always answer to someone else. Work late. Send them a note of appreciation if you can't stand a boss. I had all kinds of them over my 35 years. I got all kinds of them now. We all have them. Is there a neighbor who lets their dog come over and leave a gift on your front lawn? We have one. Little dog across the street. Thank you very much. What do you do about it? You clean it up. Because that's the guy that we took dinner to when his wife was killed in a car accident 6 months ago, if that long. I can clean my yard up. Do I want to? No. But would love be going over and telling him to keep his doggone dog out of my yard? I wonder about that. It's shocking to think that to some people that loving our neighbor simply means not to kill him. Loving someone means not to kill him. I wonder if that's why evangelism fails in the church today. Because we can't follow the great commandment that God gave us to love one another. To follow one another as we should. I heard this story and I thought it was a great way to end a message on love. It said a man was seen one day on a boat. He was on this river and he had this large dog with him that he wanted to get rid of. So he takes the dog out in the boat and pushes the dog overboard. The dog climbs back in the boat. So he pushes him overboard again. And as the dog is climbing back in the boat tips over. And someone said, had it not been for that dog dragging the man by the coat back to the shore, he would have died. I'm thinking, wow, that's love in spite of someone trying to throw you overboard. When someone tries to do us harm, do good in return. As Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good.